Thank you for downloading this message from New Horizon AOG Church. We pray that it inspires you to arise and shine.
Good morning. How's everyone doing? Who thinks it's a phenomenal day today? Do you know why it's a phenomenal day today? Because Jesus said, I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. And before we start, let's stand to our feet right now and let's give God a praise offering over your life, that I will build my church over every situation, that the gates of hell will not prevail against it. Over your life today, I want to prophesy and speak that the gates of hell will not prevail over your employment. The gates of hell will not prevail over your family. The gates of hell will not prevail over your relationship. The gates of hell will not prevail over your future, because Jesus said, I will build my church and the gates of hell will not prevail. And whatever we face in our culture, whatever we're dealing with in society, God's word is, I will build my church and the gates of hell will not prevail against it. Come on, let's give God some praise. Woo! You may take your seats. Good. Well, I'm looking forward till we can start singing again, dancing again, and doing what we need to do. Well, it's great to see everyone. I just want to say welcome all of your online viewers. Sorry we've only got one camera at the moment. And if anyone wants to donate any money so we can actually purchase two cameras, that would be awesome, because at the moment we're having to borrow a camera and we haven't got that with us today. I want to start by honoring a special watcher, which is my father-in-law, Steve Hope. I just want to take 2 minutes to say you are an awesome father-in-law. You are an incredible person. You have been such an encouragement to me and Becky. And we want to say, I know you're watching right now, we love you. Keep fighting. We are praying for you. And thank you for everything that you've done and everything that you're doing. Can we give my father-in-law a big round of applause right now? And you may not know this, and that we are, one of the reasons we're here in this building is because of my father-in-law. And because in 2017, sometimes God speaks to us, the way God speaks to us is through two or three witnesses. You feel you need to do something and then two or three people say the same thing. And I was sat around my dinner table one day and I knew that I had to do something, and I felt it in my spirit, and I had two people say it already. And as I was, I think we was eating chicken or something, and as we was eating, he's looked me in the eyes and he said, Andy, you know what you need to do. You need to deal with this issue. You need to speak to this person. And I knew straight away in my spirit, it brought peace and confirmation. I knew that I had to do it. And isn't it great that we've got men and women of faith? That's why you need men and women of faith around you to speak into your life. And at that moment, I knew that I had to tackle something. And once I tackled that issue, if you want to know, you can talk to me after. And all of a sudden, we saw breakthrough in this building. So Steve Hope, you're awesome. Thank you to being a part of this amazing journey. Well, we're going to continue today with the message, and it says in Ezekiel chapter 8, if we get the verses on the screen, I've made it a little bit shorter this week, and it says this, and this is God speaking to the prophet Ezekiel, and it's like God speaking to us to speak to the nation. God was wanting to speak to the nation, an important message and an important time. He says this, Son of man, do you see what they are doing? The utterly detestable things Israel are doing here, things that will drive me away from my sanctuary. And we get that incredible revelation where God says to us, I will never leave you nor forsake you. And that's an amazing truth. But the Bible also says he will never leave you nor forsake you, but we can live in such a way where we can drive God out of our lives. Because we serve a holy God, and we don't want to be a person who has a faith in God, but lives a life that drives God out of our life, because the Bible says that the name of the city and those people was God is here. And we as New Horizon Church want to be known as God is here. I want to be known as a person when I walk into any situation, limited in many areas, but one thing we need to have confidence in, that God is here. That God is here. Then he brought me to the entrance to the court, and I looked and I saw a hole in the wall. He said to me, son of man, now dig into the wall. If you have to dig, it means you're hiding something. So I dug into the wall and I saw a doorway there. And he said to me, go in and see the wicked and detestable things they are doing there. They say the Lord does not see us. The Lord has forsaken this land. And so we're going to look today at the part two, and hopefully I can get through it today. When worlds collide, because we've got to put this important message into our day, and we've got to translate it into our lives and to our culture. Worlds are colliding right now on every street in our nation and in every family. And we heard last week of the heart of this message regarding worlds colliding. You see, God doesn't want to speak this message into life to condemn you. Jesus said, them without sin cast the first stone. So please don't hear this message as God or myself is chucking stones at you, because no one is righteous except Jesus, yes? But God wants to speak to us about world colliding because he loves us. He doesn't want the world of Babylon to burn down our house. And he wants to bless us today. And also God wants to equip us of how to live our lives in a day and generation that we live in. You know, Daniel, even though living in an ungodly culture in Babylon, did not defile himself, which made him so powerful in prayer that laws were changed to stop one old man from praying. Maybe you don't think your prayers are important. A whole legal system of a whole nation, of an empire, was changed to stop one old man praying. Wow, I'd love to be in that room. And yet he didn't defile himself. And in the day and generation that we live in, it's easy to fall to sin. It's easy to create different things, but God wants us to live like Daniel lived. He was undefiled. And there is a way, and God wants to equip us for that. Because, you know, God rebukes the false prophets in Ezekiel to say, you've not gone into the gaps of the wall and you've not strengthened. You've not said to the people, come on, you've got vulnerable spaces here and vulnerable spaces here, and you need to strengthen. And right now in our lives, don't we? The society is creating vulnerable spaces for our lives, and God wants to strengthen us, to equip us to live our lives. And I'm believing, as I was preparing this message, that the Arctic lorry of the Holy Spirit's cement is going to pour into every weak area, is going to pour into every area, every vulnerable space that needs strengthening by God. And so that's the heart of the message. The problem was, and if you can get somebody to help me with the chairs, that would be great, is, thanks guys, let's give him a big round of applause. The problem was, is that the people at that time had become a multi-world people instead of being a single world people. Thanks, guys. Thank you. Let's give him a big round of applause. Because worlds were colliding, and the reason why worlds were colliding, and we realized that this is what was happening in the Bible, is that they had built three worlds. They had an outer world that everybody saw. Yes, like I'm seeing you today, maybe this is your Sunday face. Or this is what maybe your mum and dad just see you at the dinner table. Yes, then they created a inner world and a hidden world. And sometimes we all have to deal with these, but the problem was is that the inner world completely contradicted the outer world. And if we don't deal with the inner world, then what happens with the inner world can all of a sudden, the inner world creates a hidden world. And we looked last week at the great challenge. So we've got the heart of the message, the problem of the message. This was the message. Because what happens is when we start to live a multi-world life, if you read the Bible, and this is what was happening, all of a sudden, the hidden world will crash into the... Oh, don't worry if they break. I'll pay for new chairs. And they all crash together and the world collides. And in our generation, we live in a world that wants to celebrate and encourage us to live a multi-world life. But the challenge is for us, we got to live a one-world life in a multi-world generation. And so today, we're going to kick this one away, if we've got any about that, and we're going to put that one close to that. And God wants us to live a one-world life in a multi-world generation. Yes? Because this may cost you your marriage. May cost you so much money on solicitors' bills. I can't believe I'm saying this for free. I'm serious. The Church of Jesus Christ is completely underrated of what we can deliver. The words of God. Yes? Anyway, don't let me lose track. Don't digress. Stay to the notes, Pastor Andy. And so we're going to look at this in detail. So we've looked at the challenge of wanting to live a single world life in a multi-world generation. But how do we do that in our lives? And so we're going to get a little bit practical. So there's three things I believe we will have to manage, not solve, because sometimes we will all have to manage this all of our days. Do you know what that's called? Discipleship. And we've got to manage these things. And so the first thing we're going to look at if we're going to live a one world life is we've got to manage vulnerable seasons. Vulnerable seasons. You know, sometimes we need to understand life. God's created the world to exist in seasons. As a church and as our lives, sometimes what helps you is if you can articulate what season you are in your life, what season we are in this church, that you get great leadership lessons from that. But sometimes we have great seasons and sometimes we have difficult seasons, right? And sometimes we have to be careful, not just in the difficult seasons, but in the great seasons, because I've played football long enough. Sometimes the most vulnerable times in your life is when you've just scored a goal and everything's going well. That life's seasonal. You see, these people, one of the reasons that the inner world got out of context and then they made a hidden world is that they was in a difficult season because they said this, is they said that, let me find it, that the Lord does not see us and the Lord has forsaken the land. And so they was living in a season of disappointment from God. But the truth was they had misinterpreted the season because the season was difficult, not because that God had forsaken them, but because God had been driven out by the way that they lived. And we've got to be mindful of the seasons that we are in our lives, because if you unmanage seasons in your life, they can create huge problems. What about the season of stress and victory? 1 Kings 18, we get the greater prophet Isaiah, an incredible, mighty man of God. And we get him at Mount Carmel. We get him in the season of conflict. We get him in a season of stress. We get him a season of victory in this mighty man of God. He finds it hard realizing what he needs to do in a stressful, tiring season when he's just had victory. He should have had a holiday. He should have rested. If you work in a stressful environment, how you deal with stress, because let me tell you something, these things don't just appear. Sometimes we create these things because it helps us with our stress. Yes? If you're a CEO and top in business, that's why the high society create a lot of hidden worlds. Society's changed because before only the rich and wealthy had the means to actually create hidden worlds. Now, all of us with our phones and whatever, we can all create hidden worlds. But a lot of it is to manage stress and anxiety, and people create hidden worlds because it solves it for a season, but you know that one day it's going to collide. Yes? Sometimes people don't intend to make hidden worlds, but they just do because they're finding it hard in the season that they're in. And this Elijah was in a painful place, a stressful season. And then Elijah says this, "I've had enough, take my life." A mighty man of God wanting to die. Who thinks that's sad? And God had to say, "You need to eat, drink, and sleep and chill out." What about dealing with the frustrating and disappointing seasons? Have you ever been frustrated? Yes? Dear me, I have to manage my frustration very well. Sometimes I don't get it. Genesis 16, you know, you get Abraham wanting Isaac. "Come on, God. Why aren't you doing this? I'm frustrated. You said it's not happening. It's just not happening." Yes, have you ever been like that? "Come on. God, come on. Come on, where are you?" God's saying, "Wait, it's all right. It's all right. Chill out. It'll happen. Are you living right before me?" "Yeah, just chill out, chill out." This is a prophetic word for people. Things are not happening for you. Just chill out, live right. "Yeah, a righteous man's steps are ordered by the Lord. It'll be all right. And he goes, "No," he says, "I'm getting off waiting for God business." And he took his life and his destiny into his own hands. And we get Ishmael. And he found that very difficult. Don't stop trusting God if you're frustrated this morning. What about the disappointing and confusing seasons where you're following Jesus and it's all going well, and then Jesus starts to speak some strong words into your life, maybe about a relationship, maybe about different things, and then you go, whoa, Jesus, you can't talk to me about that. And he's speaking to his disciples and he's talking about dying and he's talking about communion, he's talking about different things. And all of a sudden, this is what happens, is that many disciples turn their backs and left Jesus. In a disappointing and a confused season, it's very easy to create a hidden world instead of pressing into God. Sometimes I don't know what God's doing, but I'm still going to follow him. Yes? Sometimes I don't know what God's doing, but he's still got my telephone number. Amen. Sometimes I don't know what God's doing, but I'm going to press into him. Yes. Because if I've lived long enough, that it will become right in the end. Yes? And he works all things for good. Amen. For those who are called according to his purpose. Come on. All things. Where are you going to go? Who are you following and where are you going to go? And he says to his disciples, what every leader dares to ask, he says, "Are you going to leave too?" to his disciples. "Are you going to go then?" What did they say? "Where can we go? You have the words of eternal life." And there's many times I've wanted to get off the bus and Jesus has gone, "Go on then, where are you going to go?" And I've had to come back and say, "Where can I go? You have got the words of eternal life." Wow, amen. Also, what about the relaxed and idle seasons in our lives? Pastor David Sherman, great man of God, once said to me, and I'll always remember it, "You know the most vulnerable place where Christians backslide? On holiday." Yes? Now, I'm not against holiday. Please go on holiday. I'm ready for a holiday. So it's not about that, but make sure you take your Bible on holiday. Make sure you go for some walks. Becky knows this, when we go on holiday, I get my iPhone out and I'm on the beach listening to music. Man, that's took some prayer beat in that Mablethorpe beach. Yes, I've seen some breakthroughs on that Mablethorpe beach. Yes, I've poured out my heart to God on Mablethorpe beach. Come on. But we have to be careful when we're relaxed and idle. Because in 2 Samuel 11, we get King David, an incredible king, an incredible mighty man of God. And the Bible says that when most kings went to war, what did David? He made a fatal mistake. Instead of going to war, which was his job to go to war, he stayed behind and he let everyone go. And he chose not to do the job that God had called him to do. And as he was not in where he should be, he was being idle. And one night when he was idle, he went onto his roof and a naked woman was having a bath and his eyes went boing. And he fell with Bathsheba, which would have never happened. We have to be careful that the devil doesn't take advantage of seasons when we've not got much to do. One of the privileges of being very busy, I ain't got time to sin. Which is half true, because you've always got time to sin in today's world, but we've got to be where we're so focused. We've seen the outcome and the effect of the pandemic, which has devastated families. Why? Because people's had too much time on their hands. Can I gently say, if you're unemployed right now, we are praying that you get a job, because it's difficult when you're unemployed, but manage that season well when you've got a lot of time on your hands. If you can't go to work and you've got a lot of time on your hands, manage your time. Yes? Sometimes we don't want to be idle. We're just waiting for that breakthrough. But be careful, because in Proverbs 16, verse 27, idle hands are the devil's workshop. And I know for me, I don't know about you, but sometimes when we've got a lot of time on our hands, we're vulnerable. And so if we're going to make sure, like they did, one of the reasons they created a hidden world in the inner world is because they was having a difficult season, that the Lord's forsaken us, but the Lord had not forsaken us. The Lord was driven away by the way that they was living. And so they created a hidden world. And God wants to say to us that we need to make sure that we manage our vulnerable seasons, that we are mindful of the seasons. You can't solve your seasons sometimes. You have to manage them. Yes? I know every single faith victory breakthrough that I've ever had in my life, it's followed by an attack. Yes? The older you get, you understand patterns and cycles. If you've made a faithful decision, life may get a bit tough for a season. When Moses went to see Pharaoh and said, "Let my people go," what did Pharaoh say? "Oh, yes, of course you can." Pharaoh said, "No, you are not going." And he made it 10 times worse. And all these guys were saying to Moses, "Oh, thank you, Moses, for making it 10 times worse. Great leader you are." And sometimes we have to stand strong enough for long enough for breakthrough to happen. Yes? And thankfully, Moses came 9 times. "Let my people go." Come on. And he sucked up his pain. And he sucked up the difficultiness, gift, whatever, if that's a word, and he got on with it. Okay. We've got to manage the vulnerable seasons. We've got to manage, if we're going to live a one world life in a multi-world generation, we've got to manage the inner world. The inner world. This here right now is key to dealing with the hidden world. You've got to deal with the inner world. The inner world creates a hidden world, and the hidden world and the inner world will collide with the outer world. I can remember when we launched this building in March 2018, and our new Assemblies of God national leader preached, and he preached on something I will never forget. All the days of my life, he preached on vision, and he preached on the verse, if you remember, where there is no vision, people cast off restraint. Yes? We've seen that in vulnerable seasons. But then he says this. So where there's no vision, people cast off restraint. But where there is vision, the more restraints you need. Yes? And I'll never forget that as long as I live. Because I believe, I live with vision, and those of you who know that if you want to live with vision, you have got to have restraint. And one of the restraints that you need is to manage the inner world. You see, we live in a generation of high vision, but low restraints. And if you want a high vision yet low restraints, it's going to lead to disaster. You may have the greatest train that goes 200 miles an hour, but if you haven't got the restraint and the structure of the rails, disaster's going to happen. You need the right rails to take the weight and to take the speed. Is everyone with me today? Most Christians live like this. If Christians were an Olympic athlete, they would say this is what they'd spend their time doing. God, make me Olympic athlete. 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 And then God would say, you got to get up at 4 a.m. Yes, you've got to be in the gym at 10 o'clock. You can't go to get a kebab at 12 o'clock at night and 2 cans of Iron Brew. You can't live like that. Because high vision needs high restraint. Yes? Something that we've lived, it's God's calling us to a life of discipleship, managing the inner world. How do we manage the inner world? Jesus in the desert, who's being tempted by the devil. How do we manage the inner world? Let me just do that. The inner world. How do we deal with the inner world? Because Jesus, the devil was saying to Jesus, come on, create an out of control inner world. Create an inner world. And this is how we manage the inner world. Jesus replied, Jesus says to the devil, man does not live by bread alone, but from every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. You want to live a great life? Yes. You've got to start living and managing on the Word of God, putting the Word of God into practice in your life. If you want to succeed with great vision, if you want to not have a hidden world, if you want to control the inner world so you can have a great outer world, so when any situation that you come in, you can say, God is here. We've got to make sure we live off in our lives every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. Come on, how awesome is the Bible? Yeah. How awesome it is. Yeah. Managing what we think about. Yeah. 2 Corinthians 10, I've preached this so much, I'm going to keep preaching it. We've got to manage what we think about. So a man thinks, so he is. What do you think about in your life? Paul says this to the early church living in a very ungodly culture. We must take every thought captive and make it obedient to Christ. Whether you're worrying, panicking, a lustful thought, a thought for being deceitful. Right now, when you think about it, how do you manage that you don't make a hidden world? You press pause and say, right, I'm pausing on that thought. Do I give it access into my life or do I rebuke it and move on? You might say, well, that's impossible for me. Come on, it's like going to the gym. Keep doing it. Yes. This is life-changing. Sexual immorality and all the deals with stuff doesn't start here. It doesn't start in the hidden world. It starts right here. A man of God once said to me when I was in my early 20s, and it's absolutely brilliant, guard your imagination, because that's where the revelation of God speaks. And I've tried to live that my entire life. Managing what's in our hearts. Proverbs 4 verse 23, above all else, church, guard your hearts. What do we need to guard our hearts from? Galatians 5 talks about the inner self, the inner sinful nature against hatred, discord, jealousy, lust, selfish ambition. We've got to guard our hearts, church, in this world. We need to forgive people, love people. Not be jealous of people. Managing what we see. Oh, it's going to go quiet right now. But this is not to condemn us, church. It's to love us. Matthew 6, 22. This message you'll probably understand. Worlds collide. Most pastors didn't preach this. The eyes are the lamp of the body. If your eyes are healthy, Your whole body will be full of light. But if your eyes are unhealthy, your whole body will be full of darkness. If then the light within you is darkness, how great is your darkness? What you see affects your spirit, your soul, your mind, and your life. We're living in a generation that are seeing things that is filling them with darkness. I'm going to finish big, because I'm going to call some stuff out right now with the power of the Holy Ghost. And I'm going to pour, and if I go over time and you've got your dinner on, it's burning, I won't get offended if you leave. Yeah? Because I get it. I get life. Yeah? And if you've got things to do. But if you want to stay, you're more than welcome. I want to come on to how we deal with this later, but dealing with what you see. We live in a world where the enemy is vomiting over people's lives. And this is why we're living in this world that is smashing these things to bits. It's on every street, in every land, in every world. And Babylon's burning down houses. Sorry. I'm not sorry. I'll cry a lot. I'm sharing my heart with you guys. We got to manage what we see, guys. We got to manage your self-talk. What do you talk about yourself? Negative, you're rubbish, you're not going to achieve anything. Maybe you was brought over that. Oh, I've had my fair share with that. Every leaders meeting at 21 years of age, I went in with 4 or 5 letters, not happy. And it messes you up. And David had to face this. David, Psalm 42. This is David, the great leader. He's talking to himself. Why are you downcast, oh my soul? Why are you in turmoil? Why are you downcast? Put your hope in God, for I shall again praise him, my salvation. Come on. And David's having to talk to himself when he's down in the dust. And he's saying, he's starting to stir his faith. Something's got to get turning in his spirit. Saying, come on, why am I downcast? Why do I feel like that? I may have just ran out. Why am I downcast? Put your hope in God. Come on. You're created. Unique. You're not an accident. God's called you to be. He's got a destiny. He's got greatness for your life. Yes. I want to just speak it over you. Yes. Oh, dear me. God loves you so much that he called me at 16 years of age in a nightclub in Spain to come and talk to you. Yes. And I've had a life with people trying to shut me up, but I'm going to keep talking. And we've got to manage our inner world. We've got to manage our faith. How are you managing your faith over lockdown? Remember to read your Bibles. Remember to go for that prayer walk. Remember to get into the community. I know it's been difficult. I've just recently landscaped the garden and brought a nice big fire pit. And I've been, you know, making massive bonfires. Becky's like, it's only a small pit. But I'm like, you know, it's a man thing. Is anyone with me? Yeah, you can't beat a good fire. Yeah, get that fire on. Get elevation worship on. Get that fire on. Fire of God. Fire. Yeah, fire. Yeah. I love that song. What is it? You bring the fire. It's a Bethel one. And I'll bring the sacrifice. Oh, put that on. God, bring the fire. I'll bring the sacrifice. You don't need to bring the fire. Just bring the sacrifice and God will bring the fire. Yeah. Amen. Yeah. Amen. Oh, I'm getting carried away. But I've been amazed that when some bits fall off the fire, how quickly it goes cold. When it's not on the fire. I want to say, come on, we've got to keep in fellowship. Yes. Yeah. Sometimes if we're going to have fellowship, we've got to love one another despite all of our idiosyncrasies and difference, like you guys love me and are gracious to me, but we've got to keep together. Yes, it's lovely that people are shielding and watching online, and if you're watching online, that's brilliant, but there's no substitute to the gathering of God's people. I want to encourage you to come and visit us, but if you're watching for health reasons and shielding, that's no problem. God bless you. And so we've got to manage those things. Yes, you've got to manage what you think about, manage what's in your heart, manage what you see, manage your self-talk and manage your faith. And if we manage this well, church, this will never be a problem. I love kicking chairs, but I love it. Your hidden world's never going to be a problem. Come on.
Yeah?
So we deal with that. Now, I'm going to come to an end. We've got to manage. We're going to live a one world life in a multi-world generation. Maybe this is out of control. So how do we manage the hidden world? How do I do that in my life? I'm going to share how I live. And if you want to follow it, that's fine. You're not forced to do anything that I say here. I'm just going to preach the Bible and you decide what you want to do with it. I'd love you to follow what it's saying, but that's up to you. You see, right now in our world, the economy of the hidden world's booming. And this is not to condemn anyone or to chuck stones at anyone. Because the devil loves secrets. If we're going to live without a hidden world, we've got to deal with secrets. Now, what I'm talking about right now is going to be so powerful in people's lives. You may find this difficult to listen to, but God's not going to condemn you. He's saying this right now because he loves you. Yeah? Because if you can break secrecy in your life, I'm telling you, God is going to move. You see, God wants you to live with secrets to imprison you, limit you, shame you, destroy you, and hold you hostage. You see, right now, we're living in a generation, we've got to be careful. What's the spirit of the age? The spirit of contradiction. You see, recently, we've had the terrible and deplorable death of Sarah Everard. And we get riots and marches, and rightly so, but it's from the outer world. And we're living in a generation, and I'm not against protest, but people want to protest on the outward world, but no one is speaking in to where this is all coming from, into the hidden world. Yes? And we've got to speak into this. And I'm going to preach in the Holy Ghost like a Tyrannosaurus Rex into this right now, because it's a day and generation's message. You see, right now, there was a report in the school of all of the schools in March this year where they're saying sexual abuse in schools has become normal. There's so many cases, reports are saying they can't deal with it. The Bible says, reap, sow a whirlwind and reap the wind. And if we continue down the line of, it said, a report said 50% of 12 to 14 year olds haven't just seen, and I'll be careful because there's kids here, explicit things, but extremely explicit. Yes? And I don't want to be in a generation that are holding a banner up, yeah, and saying, come on, we need to do some action. I've come here because I'm believing the future Prime Minister of England can be in this room today. I'm believing that the future Prime Minister of different things or the nation can come from New Horizon Church. I'm believing that the future president or whatever the title is of the BBC can come from the church. I'm believing that future MPs, the education secretary can come from the house of God. I'm believing for a day like Daniel and Joseph where the church changed nations and policies and destiny, not from the public, from the pulpit, but from the private office. And God's not called me to a public office, but he's called me to the office as a senior pastor and whatever that means, but to prophesy, to raise up. Come on. I'm believing for a day. Because the only way these are going to get changed is we're going to need some serious Christians rising in our nation, full of the Holy Ghost, full of the wisdom of God, full of the call of God, to bring policies and to bring reform and incredible change. I'm believing that the future head of Facebook is going to be a Christian. The future head of Instagram is going to be a Christian. Come on. Come on. Am I reminding your church who the church is? Come on. William Wilberforce had that moment in his life whether he was going to be a pastor or a politician. And don't get me wrong, we need pastors in the pulpit, because I'm here today and I want to raise up you guys. But I want to say that he made that decision, he was going to be a politician, and look what he did. He helped abolish slavery. Wow. Come on, we are the church. We've seen online abuse, anonymously. Nothing's anonymous to God. You can't be anonymous to God. God sees everything. They say the Lord does not see us. He does see you. Never have a secret identity. Never have a fake profile. You will never get blessed if you have a fake profile, ever. Yeah? How do we live in the hidden world? Have no secrets, have no hiding places. Thousands of years ago, the Great Wall of China was built, 13,000 miles long, 20 foot high, solid stone. In the first 5 years, it was breached 3 times. And this is the truth. The enemy didn't go over it, didn't go under it, didn't go around it. It bribed a gatekeeper on the door. Yes? And we need solid gatekeepers in our lives. I'm coming to an end right now. In our lives, if you want to live with high vision and you want to be a person where God is there, you've got to live with accountability. Some of you may want to be a senior pastor. I want to say, I'm going to talk right now. I live a life that is very expensive. Yeah? The Bible says, James chapter 5, confess your struggles. He says, therefore, confess your sins to one another and pray for one another that you may be healed. The prayer of a righteous person has great power, and it is working. Confess your struggles and ask for help. The first thing you need to do, maybe after this message, but be careful you choose the right people, because I'm believing everyone's got issues in this room, including me. And this is the great thing, how you smash the hidden world to bits. You say to people, do you know what? I'm struggling with this. Yeah? And it shatters the power of it. Accountability, bang! You know? I can be accountable to you. I've got my wife, Steve Bell, Michael Wood, and a professional that I speak to, and all of them, there is no secrets I have. They know everything. Good, bad, ugly. Oof, some of you are thinking, because sometimes we build things up thinking, oh, this is, and if you just speak, what does it say? Confess your sins. And it says that healing's going to start flowing. If you're really struggling with this and you're thinking, I'm just, my house is burning down, I don't know, just share. And what people will do, if you mind the right people, they'll go, oh yeah, well, oh, I get that, or I've struggled with that, or this is how I deal with that. And all of a sudden you think, whoa, I can't believe that. Because the devil makes big things up, yes? Makes big things up. Makes small things into big things, and sometimes they are big things, but just, am I making sense? You got to talk to people. Yeah? Don't just date people. If you date somebody and you've not asked anybody for a bit of advice, come on. I met Becky, I loved her to bits, but I still took her around to my mum and dad, and when she left, I said, what do you think? Yes? Now, some people think this is ordinary. Trust me, through the pandemic, I've realized this is incredibly rare. I'm just sharing how I've lived my life. You've got to build a life of counsel. Here's a tough one. How do you manage the hidden world? I'm coming to an end now. Now, stay with me. I have no passwords. Becky and Pastor Steve Bell know because I trust them. And I want to thank Executive Pastor Steve Bell. They know all of my passwords. All of my passwords. They can go on and I bumble a bit saying, oh, I'm not very good at technology. I bumble a bit because I'm deliberately doing it on purpose that they know all of my passwords. We have the same bank account. I can see what my wife's spending. She can see what my spending. There's no space for hiddenness. Yes? You can have that. Maybe you've got to give your wife all of your passwords. Maybe you've got to give your husband all of your passwords. Maybe that, I'm just telling you, this is how I'm living. Yeah? Share everything. Be accountable. Yes? Because the heart is, we've got to manage this, because if you don't, we don't want Babylonians burning down your house. Yeah? And trust me, you've probably know this, I've had some challenging conversations in my life. But I can stand today on the strengths of those conversations. Yeah? Because I'm not having this. I refuse to live like that. And if we're managing this, then we're going to live a one world life in a multi-world generation. And wherever we go and whatever we do as a church, we can say, the Lord is here. So come on, let's stand to our feet. Let's stand to our feet. Stand to our feet. Yeah. Come on. Come on. Come on. See, we live in such a gracious time. Samson was such a man of strength. And God endowed him with strength and purpose. Yet he created an outer world and a hidden world, and he became associated with the wrong people. He got into bed with the wrong person, and he continued to get on into bed with the wrong person. And it was fun for a season, because sometimes sin is, but this is the fruit of sin. It's going to burn your house down. The Bible says one day Delilah shaved his hair. And the most saddest story in the Bible is when he came the next morning, the enemy came and he got out of bed and he was going to do exactly what he'd always done. I'm going to sort these guys out in a flicker. And he got out of bed and the Bible says these incredible words, yet he did not realize that God had left him. And he went out and he tried. And this man, this incredible strong man, was bound. His eyes were taken out. He lost his vision. And he was taken off by the enemy. And the enemy took him to work for them, to grind at the mill. And we get this beautiful story. And maybe right today, you've lost your vision. And the enemy's all over your life. And he's in chains. And he's in chains. And then we get one of the best verses in the Bible. It says, and he was here. And it says this, that the hair on the head of Samuel started to grow back. The hair on the head of Samson, started to grow back. And I want to say, I want to give you hope. Your head may have been shaved. You may be in chains. But there's still hope for you. Yeah. Because God, through his grace, when you say, God, I'm going to choose today to live for you right now. Come on. Your hair's going to start growing back. Yeah. You're not finished. God's going to heal you. God's going to bless you. Amen. Hallelujah. Zoe Cold, as I was preparing this message a few weeks ago, God wants to say over your life, God's like saying, you're a mighty mouse. Don't let anyone look down on you ever because of your young. I know what it's like to be the youngest in the family, but God wants to say he's put a mighty person in you, a mighty person. And God's going to put you in situations where your strength is going to come out and be shown and displayed. Don't freak out when that happens. Just live chilled, but God's going to birth something mighty in your life. Let's give Zoe a big round of applause. Come on, you're a mighty woman. You're a mighty woman. You're a mighty woman. Hannah Crouch, God spoke to me about you. You came into this church as the head girl of a school. And this is what, I'm sorry for embarrassing you. God wants to say there's a headship in you. There's a leader in you. And when you get in leadership positions, don't freak out, because there's something of a headship. You may be head of a department. You may be head, I don't know what it is, but there's going to be a headship in you. Don't put any pressure on you, but God's called you to lead. Be a leader. God's deposited something in you that he's going to use for the future. Be blessed. Come on. Eleanor Walton, live streaming person right now. We're going to close, but I just want to speak something into your life. God wants to say, this was a few weeks ago, you are exactly where you need to be. People may be freaking out about putting pressure on you about making decisions. God wants to say, be still, trust in God. God's got an incredible destiny and future for your life. And so just be at peace. God's going to sort it out. He's smiling on your life. Go out of this church dancing. Your future is going to be awesome. Let's give her a big round of applause. God bless you today. We could be here all day, but Heavenly Father, I just pray right now for every person. Come on, what God's spoken to you about. Right now, this is what you need to be thinking about. What do you need to change? What do you need to leave? What do you need to delete? What do you need to stay faithful to? What do you need to share? What do you need to expose? Lord, I just pray right now, as your Holy Spirit is saturating this place with your presence and your fire. Lord, we just pray that you would burn any chain of oppression that's holding people back. Lord, as people right now are making that decision that they're going to live for you, they may have to change some things, delete some things, leave some people or some things, whatever it is. Lord, I just pray that we believe and we choose to not to bow the knee to the idols of our time, yet to stand strong for you, that wherever we go and whatever we do, we confess that the Lord is here. Come on, let's give God some praise. God bless you.
We hope that you've enjoyed this message. For any more information or to download our weekly podcast, please go to www.newhorizonchurch.org.uk.